Hell yeah! That's exactly what I'm talking about. Dak Prescott had his best game by far of the year. And that includes the game with over 400 yards. The one where Amari Cooper just went crazy. This is by far the best, most complete game Dak Prescott has played this year. And this is what I've been looking for from Dak. So how's it going? Welcome to another episode of The Drive. I am your Dallas Cowboys addict. So, this was by far the best, most complete game I've seen from Dak Prescott this year. And I would even say in his career. He still had his overthrows. He still had the throws that he threw high. But all in all, this is what I want to see from Dak. Each and every game. I mean, when you take into consideration what happened, this is a backup offensive line. No Zeke. Okay? The defense they didn't show up today. And Dak Prescott had one of his best games. Everything was on Dak. He needed to be the one who made the plays, who won the game for us. And he came through. Man, did he come through in the best way possible. I am so happy right now. I'm so pumped. The way the game ended, it just made it even better with that Beasley catch. Beasley was on fire all game today. But that last catch where he grabs it and it looks like the ball's just going to go out. And somehow he gets there and gets the knee down. Oh my God, just fucking beautiful. Blake Jarwin, I've said this before. Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz have started to come on here at the end of the season. Jarwin today had 7 catches for 119 yards and 3 touchdowns. Let's go, man. Let's go. This is the perfect game heading into the playoff. The best. If they can use this as motivation and confidence to go into the playoffs and beat a team like the Seattle Seahawks, who I feel are the best. Match up the best against the Cowboys, then this team can go a very long way. If Dak Prescott plays the way that he plays today, oh my God, I can't even imagine. I'm pumped right now. I'm so pumped. Okay, so let's take it back to the beginning of the game, because this game didn't start out, well, actually it started out good on the defense, ended up bad on the defense, didn't start out so hot on the offense, ended up great on the offense. Which, I mean, whatever, we won. You hope that these things kind of come together in the playoffs. Right now, it's we won, and we won a meaningless game. But it's a meaningless game as far as where we're gonna end up in seeding, because we're still gonna be the 4th seed in the NFC. But it's not meaningless from the sense that it's gonna give these players some confidence, especially Dak Prescott. It didn't start out that great, right? Like the defense, let's go back a little bit. The Giants drove all the way down to, I believe it was in the red zone, when Hot Cheeto came up with the interception. That was a really good play by him. And I mean, really, it wasn't that bad of a play by Eli. It's just Cheeto fell off of the guy that he was covering, dropped back and picked him off. And I mean, that was a great play by Cheeto. Dak Prescott, that first quarter he was 3 out of 7 for 28 yards. That's not very good. But like I said, he finished great. He finished 27 out of 44. With 387 yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's completion rate there is not that great, but it's not bad. But 387 yards for 4 touchdowns, he more than doubled what he did last game, where he had 25 completions and only 160 yards. So Dak had a very good game. But like I said, he didn't start out great. Couple things that I noticed from him. He's still overthrowing people. He is still throwing short. He was almost intercepted twice in the first quarter. Sorry, in the first and the second quarter. Where he... one of them really should have been picked off by that guy, the Giants guy. What do they call his name? The bunny or the rabbit? Jackrabbit. The bunny. Jackrabbit. He almost got intercepted by him and should have been intercepted by him, really. That was a really poor throw. But like I said, he did still overthrow people. He still was throwing a little bit short. He continues to throw a little bit high. And especially when it comes to... So players like Michael Gallup and actually really just Michael Gallup, everyone really, but Blake Jarwin is really tall, so he can go up there and grab it. But Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, Beasley, differences with Beasley, even though he's throwing a little bit high, Beasley's still catching up, getting to the ball and getting it when he really should have no business grabbing those balls. But it's great that Beasley can. But Dak Prescott needs to get a little bit better at that. I've been saying that for the longest time, and I mean, I feel like that's just gonna be a point of emphasis for him this offseason to really just nail down what's going on with his footwork there to stop overthrowing people, really, because it's all footwork. Hopefully, he can pin it down and get better at that. But he continues to struggle at that. A couple of other things that I noticed from Dak Prescott today, and not just today. It's been going on for a while. So one thing that I want to see him get better at is he's good at drawing an offsides from the defense. He did that 3 times this game. The problem with that is, well, not the problem with it, but the thing that he needs to then take advantage of when he does get the defense to jump offsides is he needs to go deep. So he needs to realize that that's a free play. And he needs to go deep with that ball, because on two of those offsides that he drew, he threw for at the most 5 yards on one of them, and the other one he threw for 3 yards, and another one was an incompletion down the field for like 20 yards. But he really should be going for a home run there, because it's a free play. You know what I'm saying? Because even if it's intercepted, who cares? The play's coming back. So I'd like to see him be able to take advantage of those free plays when he draws the defense offsides. It'd be awesome if he can, during practice, come up with a play with Amari or Michael Gallup, because not really Beasley, because Beasley's not that tall, but come up with a play with Amari and Michael Gallup that whenever they see that, just go deep, right? One of them runs just a stick, and the other one a deep in route or something. You know what I mean? Just so that they can try and take advantage of that. I know that it'd be a little bit difficult, but I feel like if they practice it, or if they at least get on the same page when they see that it's been an offside to go that route, then Dak Prescott could be more dangerous when it comes to when he draws the defense offsides. And so, like I said, you know, we weren't. The first quarter of the offense wasn't playing that good. We had 2 interceptions. The defense started out real good because they got 2 interceptions in that first quarter, but we didn't get any points out of that. One of them was a missed field goal, but it really, I mean, we got that second interception with great field position. You know, we were already almost in the red zone, really. So they should have came up with a touchdown there. No Zeke really hurt us there. I feel like if Zeke had been since the beginning of the game, this game would have been wrapped up. But like I said, Dak finished strong, and it was awesome to see, and it was encouraging to see, and I loved it. So that was the first quarter. Let's see. The second quarter is where Dak really turned it on a little bit. Second quarter, Dak finished 12 out of 21 with 140 yards. He was still overthrowing people there. He overthrew Amari Cooper. He did have pressure on him. He overthrew Amari Cooper on one that could have been a touchdown throw. He had pressure on him, though, so you can't really fault the guy for that too much. And just Cole Beasley just kept catching balls that seemed like they were going to be too far. I've said this before, but I feel like I got to re-say it, you know. And he was open consistently on third down. Consistently, Beasley was open on third down and was just that. He was just that valve, that release valve. Whenever we needed a first down, Beasley was just, he was just there. Seemed like nobody could cover him until they moved over that guy that committed one of those penalties, that pass interference call. And then he was complaining that it wasn't pass interference. I'm like, dude, come on. Everybody in the stadium and everybody on TV saw you clearly push. So I don't know what the hell he was complaining about there. But anyways, once they moved him on to Beasley, it seemed like Beasley had a little bit more issues getting wide open. But he did come on. He did come through with the fourth quarter amazing catch that pretty much sealed the game, or at least made it possible to go for that 2-point conversion. Blake Jarwin, in the second quarter, that's when he came on, caught his first touchdown pass, then caught his second touchdown pass, and finally ended up with a third touchdown pass in the third quarter, I think. Yeah, it was in the third quarter. And one thing to point out is, though, Rod Smith didn't really show up in the second quarter. I don't even think he played at all in the second quarter. I didn't see him out there, which was weird. Maybe they were trying to save him, but I was thinking, for what? You know, Zeke is our starter. When Zeke plays, Rod Smith runs like 3 or 4 plays max, at least that I noticed. Because all the other ones he runs, he goes in there, he blocks, or he doesn't get the ball. That second touchdown, though, that Dak threw to Jarwin, that was just perfect. The way he hung in there in the pocket, stepped up a little bit, and then just delivered a freaking strike to Jarwin. That was just, God, that was so beautiful. It was reminiscent of that, of his rookie year when they were playing the Lions, and he threw, he called an audible and then stepped up and threw a touchdown pass to that wide receiver, what was his name? Bryce or something, Bryce. I can't remember his name right now for some reason. Anyway, it was a guy that went to the Cardinals. And then came back and got re-signed and then got dumped again when we signed Cooper. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What I'm trying to get across is that Dak hung in there in the pocket, stepped up and delivered a freaking strike. Another thing that I wanted to point out is when Byron Jones got beat there for that touchdown, he got beat, but he was in great position. He even put his hand on the ball. And more than him getting beat, really, I mean, that was a great throw by Manning. That was a really good throw, but it was an even better catch, a one-handed grab by Lattimore. So you can't really fault him for that. He was in good position. He was just, you know, he was just unlucky. And one thing that the thing that I wanted to point out was that when he went to the sideline, Chris Richard was coaching him, was telling him, hey, instead of doing this, maybe take this other angle. And you can see that he was coaching him and trying to tell him what to do next time or what to look out for next time, things that he noticed. And that's what I like about Chris Richard. And that's what I don't see from Jason Garrett too much. You know, Jason Garrett, whenever somebody misses a play or something, he just claps or he smacks their ass. And I'm just like, dude, do a little bit of coaching. And that's what I like from Chris Richard. He looks like he cares. And he takes the time to coach and show what's going on, at least what's on his mind, so that maybe the players can come back and do better the next time. And honestly, I didn't see Byron Jones mess up too much after that. And Hot Cheeto just had a great game all around. I'm hoping that nobody tries to steal Chris Richard from us. That's going to be hard. I can't see how somebody won't take an interest in Chris Richard, if not as head coach, as defensive coordinator. And it's kind of sad to say, but I'm hoping that Marinelli kind of takes a step to the side and says, hey, you know, give the defensive coordinator position to Chris Richard, and I'll step back and be the defensive line coach. I'm hoping that that's how that happens. I don't know how they would work things out like that. Whatever it is they need to do, if they need to give him a pay raise, whatever, he needs to stay. Because I see him as being our future coach, unless Jerry's, you know, just dead set on having Jason Garrett die as a Cowboys coach. Another thing I saw in the third quarter was another 3rd and 16 and another screen. And this has just been an ongoing situation where there's really nothing else to add there. It's kind of one of those things where you just, you know, it's going to happen. You live with it and you move on. At least until we can get rid of Scott Linehan. Hopefully this offseason. But that's, and then Tuafilo got injured in the third quarter. That was really sad to see. The guy who stepped in for him, though, did a pretty good job. He didn't allow too much pressure on his side. He did allow like one or two pressures that I saw on the left side, but I'm not really sure if that was on him or if that was more on Cameron Fleming. Like I said, this whole game, really, we played with a backup offensive line. So, and Dak still just hung in there and just made play after play, you know? It was great to see. One of the plays that really stick out to me when that third quarter was when it was a 4th and 2 in our own half, and they decided to go for it. That, if we had not won the game at the end, I would have called that if we had not won the game the way that we won it, where we scored at the end, went for the 2-point conversion and won. If we had won it a different way, but when we went for it on that 4th and 2 on our own half and converted to Beasley, that to me would have been the confidence booster play for the playoffs, for the rest of the season. But I think having the game end the way that it ended was even better. But even it all started from that 4th and 2 on our own half, though, really, if you think about it. That was the deciding factor it seemed like from that point on, they were like, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter if the Giants come back and score, we're going to come back and score too. I think that was the defining moment of the game. And I think that's the play that ended up with another Jarwin touchdown. And I saw a stat in the game. Jarwin is the first tight end since 1973 to have 3 touchdowns for the Cowboys. That's crazy. And the commentators were saying, too, you would have thought Jason Witten was up there. I would have thought the same thing, too. I was very shocked to see that Jason Witten wasn't up there, considering at one point he was a record holder for most catches by a tight end in a season, until stupid Zach Ertz had to break that. Can't think of a worse person to break that record from Jason, to take that record from Jason Witten than Zach Ertz. Stupid Eagles. Let's see. Penalties. The Cowboys were really good on penalties this game. There really wasn't that many penalties, which was really good. And again, while I was watching the game, I was scrolling through Reddit. And Sean Lee got beat. That I saw, he got beat at least 3 times, and he got beat on one of the 2-point conversion. And another play that he got beat, he had his back turned to the quarterback. And on Reddit, immediately everybody started saying, Sean Lee's washed. Sean Lee this, Sean Lee's bad, Sean Lee's a liability. And I'm thinking to myself, how quickly people forget that when Sean Lee wasn't out there, this defense was pedestrian at best. When Sean Lee wasn't out there, when he would be injured, there really was no answer on defense. And I replied back on Reddit and I said, guys, it's not that Sean Lee is washed. or that he all of a sudden turned into a bad linebacker or a terrible linebacker. That's not the problem. That's not what's going on here at all. The issue is that now you've gotten used to somebody like Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch, who are much younger. And let's face it, Sean Lee was never as fast, even in his best days, as these two guys are. So it's not that Sean Lee all of a sudden became a horrible linebacker. No. You just gotten used to seeing Jalen and Van Der Esch out there. You got used to Van Jalen. And that's a big difference. It's a huge difference saying that Sean Lee is just washed and he's done, as opposed to saying that you already got used to a younger, faster, stronger, bigger linebacker. And those two are becoming just as smart, as if not smarter than Sean Lee, who at one point, I remember Tony Romo calling him the quarterback of the defense because he was just as smart as any quarterback on the field, except he played defense. So when you combine all those factors, you know, it's normal to then all of a sudden think, well, Sean Lee is washed. He's not. He's not washed. Just you've gotten used to something better. But Sean Lee is still a very good linebacker. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it confused. So then Suofilo goes out. And then Van Der Esch apparently gets hit on his shin or something. Initially, I thought he had twisted his ankle just like Suofilo. But it turned out that he just got hit on his shin. And immediately I said, oh no, when I saw him on the floor. Because we even though I said Sean Lee is still a really good linebacker, I still want Van Der Esch out there with Jalen. And so as soon as I saw that, I initially said these guys aren't even supposed to be out there in the second half. What's going on here, Garrett? Stop this cruel joke. Just take everybody out already. And you know, what happened. Dak finished the game. The starters kept playing. And thankfully, nobody else got injured and nobody got severely injured. I'm not sure what's going on with Suofilo, but I did see Van Der Esch back out there on the field on a field goal kick. So that was obviously a good sign. But that fourth quarter there, I was really getting on Garrett for not for leaving all the starters out. It got a little bit scary there. And in that fourth quarter, Dak Prescott missed Amari Cooper wide open on just a great route by Cooper. I mean, he faked like he was going to go in. Did a cut back out. And he was so wide open that if Dak Prescott just throws that ball into the end zone, that's a touchdown. But he threw it to the sideline to the right of Cooper when Cooper was looking to the inside. And so Cooper had to turn all the way to the other side. He lost the ball in the air. And really, it wasn't a good throw. It was a terrible throw. But Cooper could have still gotten there, but it was a bad throw. But if that had gone into the end zone, if he had just thrown it more straight to the end zone, even if he had lobbed it up the way that he did, that would have been a touchdown. I know. I feel like he got a little bit scared because there was a safety over the top that was kind of coming into the screen a little bit there at the end. But if he just lobs it, with more zip, that ball goes. That's a touchdown, and that would have been kind of a game sealer there. But Dak Prescott loves his drama, so he had to make it a little bit hard on himself. I feel like he's not happy if the game is too easy for him. He does things to see how much he can come back from, or try to anyway. But all in all, great game by Dak. Good game by the defense in the first half. They kind of relaxed there in the second half and let the Giants come back more than they should have. But like I've said, it was great to see Dak Prescott respond the way that he responded with no Zeke, backup offensive line, using Blake Jarwin more. and just having, just making the plays when they have to make them. I've said this on a consistent basis. He does this. He makes the plays when they have to be made. I just wish he was a little bit more careful, because he's going to give me a damn heart attack one of these days. But all in all, great game. So I had some people review my, I want to get into something a little bit different. I had some people take a listen to my podcast and give me a little bit of feedback of what was missing or what could be added to the podcast. And I got some great feedback. And one of them was, I ask a lot of questions, but I don't really give you anywhere to answer my questions or send me any kind of listener mail. And I thought that'd be great, because I'd like to make that an addition to the podcast. If anybody's interested and sends me any kind of mail, I want to give it up. I want to put it up in an episode and kind of talk about it. If you have any questions or if you have something that you want to listen to. So if you have anything that you want to comment to me, that anything that's frustrating you about the Cowboys, or anything that you just really want to get off your chest, or anything that you want to correct me on, or whatever it is, feel free to send me an email to, actually not feel free, please send me an email to thedrivecowboysaddict@gmail.com. And if you're listening on Anchor, you are able to send a message, only if you're listening through the app though. If you're listening through the app, feel free to send me a message through there, or voice message, and I'll look it over. And if I feel like it's something that I should put on another episode and kind of answer or talk about what you're talking about, then I will do that. So yeah, and that information is going to be on the homepage of my podcast. So you can see there the email address in case you forget it, or you just need a refresher. So once again, that email address is thedrivecowboysaddict@gmail.com. Send me all your comments, all your frustrations. Correct me, whatever. I'll be happy to read it and include it as part of the show. Anyway, so thanks for joining today. This was another episode of The Drive, a Cowboys Addict. Hope to see you next time. Feeling a little generous? Support this podcast. Go to anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. That's anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. Any little bit goes a long way.